6:45. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this day. This is a day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for apostolic government. We thank you, Lord God, for apostolic authority. We thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for our apostle and for the anointing and the mantle that's on his life, Lord God. We thank you for ever-increasing word training center, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, that we're receiving what we need so that we can, Lord God, be strong and do exploits. And Lord God, as always, I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up, Lord God, because he is my backup, Lord God. If he don't show up, Lord, I fall flat on my face. So I lean completely and totally unto him. In Jesus' name I pray. We pray. Amen. All right. If I'm not mistaken, we have three classes left. Okay. What I'm going to do, the remaining, this class and the next two classes, I've never done this in the years that I've taught in the School of Ministry, but we're going to do a kind of review, because as I was meditating and kind of just seeking God concerning how to finish off the year, he said, go back over things we talked about the first part of the year or last year and just do a kind of synopsis or review. And so everything that's going to be discussed in this class and the next three classes will be seen on the final. So I'm telling you to take good notes go back and make sure you take the quizzes of each last three classes, because that's going to be some of the same material you're going to see on the final. Amen? All right. The first thing, one of the things we talked about the first part of the year is that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed you can sow greater than an honor seed. And the things that I'm going to be sharing is going to be directly related to honor. And if you do these things and apply them to your life, you cannot help but walk in honor. So the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There is no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it says to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. So here it's equating honor with first fruits. So when you sow first fruits, you're actually honoring God, and you're honoring your man of God, because you're sowing it into apostolic government, apostolic authority, but you're sowing it up. And we're going to talk a little bit about upward giving, you know, and how that also produces honor. But just in this verse of scripture here, it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst forth with new wine. Why? Because you honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase, you know, and that's so very important. That's some of the key pivotal points of honor. Amen. Another important aspect that we talked about was information plus revelation equals impartation. I'm going to say that again. Information plus revelation equals impartation. Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. shared that about 3 or 4 years ago I think it might have been a Wednesday. At that time it was a Wednesday night Bible study. And that really stuck with me. He said, you must receive the information, but without getting revelation, there will be no impartation. Just information by itself is good information, something good to have. But you always want to absorb the revelation of what the instructions or what the teaching is telling you. In other words, Lord, give me divine insight, wisdom on what I just heard, and how can I apply that to my life? So now it's not just information, but it's revelation that now equals impartation. In other words, it's got imparted into my spirit man, or imparted into my soul, I should say, so that I can now apply to my life and be fruitful in every aspect of my life. And that's so very important. So we need the revelation and the impartation that is available, you know, give you an example, through the apostles' classes or through Sunday or Tuesday Bible studies and church service, so that we can receive all the revelation and the impartation that we need in order to be victorious in our lives. Honor will enable us to triumph, prevail, and to win in the apostolic government of God. And that's so very important. Honor will enable us to triumph and to prevail, because honor is actually the atmosphere that we breathe. We talked about that in the first couple of weeks of the last semester. It's the atmosphere that you breathe. Give you an example. We breathe air in this earth environment, and we breathe out carbon monoxide. And without air, we can't survive. Without honor inside of apostolic government, you cannot survive. Because everything is done through a code of honor, through a code of apostolic order. And that's so very important that we understand that without showing honor, we cannot operate and function in an apostolic government of God. There's just no way. We must learn how to sow our time, our talent, and our treasure. So, I mean, that's sowing your time. Lord, I'm sowing whatever time that I have that I can honor you with, I'm going to sow that. I'm sowing my talent, whatever talent or ability that you bless me with, Lord, I'm sowing that. I'm giving it back to you, you know, and I'm sowing with my treasure, you know, the first fruits of my increase, what you bless me with. And by doing that, you cannot help but walk in honor. These points that I'm giving you now are very, very vital to walk in an apostolic government of honor. There's a verse of scripture in Isaiah 55:1. And we talked about this earlier. It says, "Lo, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." In this verse of scripture in Isaiah 55:1, it says, everyone who is thirsty. One of the things that a hunger and a thirst will produce, it will produce you now to have a desire to walk more in the things of God. And when that happens, you can't help but honor God by putting him first and learning how to yield, which is very important. Yielding is a very, I almost want to say it's an apostolic word, because it's, you have to yield. Yield is giving God the right of way, giving God first place in your life, and yielding to government, yielding to apostolic authority, because pride and arrogance, which we're going to probably talk about next week, are the things that's going to short-circuit the power of God in your life and keep the blessings from coming. All right, let's move on. Sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based on the spiritual laws of sowing and reaping, which is found in Genesis 8:22. I'm going to say that again. Sowing seeds of honor, which is an established kingdom principle, and is based on the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, which is found in Genesis 8:22. And Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So that when you sow seeds of honor, is based on biblical principles. And as long as the earth is still rotating on its axis, as long as the seasons are changing, right now we're in spring, we were in winter, and we're going to be going in the summer before long. As long as the seasons and the earth is still rotating, he said the law of seed time and harvest will continue to be in effect. And so and honor is a part of that law. I want to make sure you understand that. Another important concept in that same regard, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. You never want to go before a man of God empty-handed or without having some type of seed that you can sow. That's so very important, because I'm kind of skipping ahead of myself, but in Hebrews 7:7, it talks about, you know, without all contradiction, the less is blessed for the better. In other words, because of the better. In other words, you're sowing up into the anointing. So the anointing that's on your man of God's life can come now, come down on into your life and bless you. It's called upward giving or sowing up. So you never want to go before a man of God empty handed. Even Saul in the Bible, and we talked about this in 1 Samuel, knew that he had to sow into Samuel. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 9, around verses 6 and 8, it says, and he said unto him, he's talking to his servant, Saul, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. He's talking about Samuel, the prophet. All that he says come to pass, or surely comes to pass. Now let us go preadventure. He can show us our way that we should go. Then in verse 7, he says, then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the meal is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? So here he's saying, you know, I know we're supposed to go before him. And even in diplomatic and dignitaries, a lot of times when an ambassador goes to a country, they always a lot of times bring a gift if they're going before royalty. You know, it's just and it's not so much customary, it's just expected. It's just the way, the flow of things. And it's so very important that that, you know, you sow into somebody of greater blessing or greater anointing, so now that anointing that's on them can come down upon you. And verse 8 says, and the servant answered Saul and said, behold, I have here at my hand a fourth part of sickle of silver that I will give to the man of God to tell us the way. So here, you know, here again, Saul didn't have anything, but his servant said, look, I got some silver stashed away that we can, when we go before Saul, Samuel, we can definitely sow it into him that he might show us the way to go. So even back in biblical days, it was something that was understood when you go before a prophet, a man of God. So things that we're seeing now is not something that just, I'm going to try to rephrase that because I'm about to say something. For years, coming up, when I first got saved in the late 70s, I saw no sowing into the anointing. Very seldom. It was just never done. I just never saw it. You know, the first time I saw it was at a camp meeting in Tulsa back in, I guess it was the mid-90s, when Apostle ministered the Money Come to You message the first time before a large group of people. And then after he ministered that night, he ended up coming back here and ministering it for 2 weeks. And from that point on, what has happened now, God is bringing back order and bringing back what was always in the Bible, but people had just kind of neglected it and let it slip. And so because of what's happening now, we're seeing honor being restored back and people walking in the blessings greater because they're sowing into the anointing. Amen. So you never want to go before a man of God empty handed or without some sort of seed to sow. All right, let me move on. With that said, because of sowing and sowing upward, the anointing of God never flows down. Well, never flows up. It always flows down. When you sow up, the anointing comes down. Let me read a verse of scripture out of Psalms 133:1. It says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. And all is symbolic, as you know, of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Just like the anointed oil that ran down from Aaron's beard, Aaron, it was the high priest. And so when he went before God, they talked about how it was like the oil running down, coming down from heaven, because he established a heaven-to-earth connection because of his priestly position. and it ran down his skirt, you know, all the way down, you know, to his legs. And it's so very important that we position ourselves where God has placed us in the body of Christ. So when you're in the right position and you're in aligned properly, and you're sowing and you're sowing seeds of honor, you can't help but be blessed because you're aligned properly. And that's so very important that we see ourselves aligned in the things of God properly. All right, let me move on. Another important aspect of honor is knowing your man of God's heart, knowing your pastor, you know, your apostle, the prophet that you serve, knowing his heart. Because when you know somebody's heart, you know their desire is to see you excel and to see you grow and to see you blessed. When you know somebody's heart, you know that even though they might be stern or they might, you know, say things that might kind of rub you the wrong way, their intent is for your blessing and for you to advance in the things of God. I mean, there were times growing up as a kid, my dad would scold me or he would discipline me for things that I should have been doing or shouldn't have did, you know. And at the time, those chastisements seemed really harsh and brutal punishment, you know. But now as I'm an adult, I thank God for it because it kept me on the right path and it kept me focused on where I needed to be. And I didn't drift off, you know, and turn out, you know, a life of degradation because, you know, your man of God, when you honor him and you respect the anointing that's on his life, it's going to help, how can I say, facilitate you to get to your destiny. And that's so very important because in each and every one of our lives, there's a destiny. There's a place that God wants us to be. But in order to get there, there's teaching, there's admonishing, there's rebukes, there's correction that has to be done so that we can begin to flow in the divine order of God for our lives. And when we honor and respect what God has placed in the land, you can't help but be blessed. You can't help but be blessed. But at the same token, anytime you have dishonor displayed, it will inhibit, it will short circuit and restrain or block the supernatural, the blessings of God from flowing down in your life. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, that word inhibit means it will slow it down or it will hinder it. It will inhibit, short circuit, restrain, and block the supernatural, the blessings from flowing down into your life. And that's what dishonor will do. It'll stop the process of blessing in your life. And that's why it's so very important that we, with every fiber of our being, strive to walk in honor, to be men and women of honor. I always use the illustration about the military. In fact, I have a nephew who's about to be enlisted into the Army, I think around the second or the third of April. And, you know, I just encourage him, you know, to follow orders, you know, don't be a hothead, you know, listen, pay attention, and do what you've been instructed to do. Because you want to go through your tenure, your time there, and be discharged with an honorable discharge. You have people who, because of not following orders, not understanding protocol, ranks, and levels, get twisted some kind of way and get dishonorably discharged. And that's something, from what I've been told, follows you the rest of your life. You know, it's, in other words, there's consequences behind it that's you can't get away from. Same thing spiritually. When you walk in dishonor, you know, one of the things I share with people, I said, you know, if God's called you to a ministry and you know God's called you there, you know, it's not a partial call. In other words, well, I'll stay for a couple of years and then I'll move on somewhere else. You know, now the enemy will try to bring division. He'll try to bring strife, envy, jealousy, whatever bitterness to come in to try to separate you or to make you, it almost actually what it tries to do is it tries to fuzzy or cloud your vision. And so you can't really see straight. Sometimes, remember, I think I said last week when I was talking about when I got my ordination papers, and I was one of the last one at that time to get it, how I just was numb, you know. And what happens is, you know, the enemy will try to fuzzy things up so you can't see straight, and you're not thinking straight, you know. And one of the things I always do, I go back to some of the original things the Lord told me. What did God tell me when I first set foot on Word of Life Christian Center? What was some of those same things that he impressed in my heart? You see, he told me, say, son, this is where you need to be, you know. And so I said, well, if this is where I need to be. And I remember, I think I shared this once before, too, if not twice or three times, you know, when my job offered me a promotion in sales in another state, and I was all excited. I'm you know, in the back of my mind, I'm packing my bags. And the Lord said, I didn't call you to Kansas. Just as plain and simple, you know. So that let me know that I had a particular assignment here. And you see, when you know that, you can honor God, you know, because you're focused on what God has called you to do. And when you're focused like that, you can't help but be blessed. And all that brings honor to you. You know, you're honoring your man of God. And when you honor, those people who honor will be honored. You know, let me move on. And you see, I stated earlier, it says anytime this honor is displayed, it will inhibit, short circuit, block, you know, the supernatural and the blessings from flowing. The spirit of revelation, the visitation of the Messiah and Christ's anointing doesn't manifest itself in force because of dishonor. You know, I always use the illustration of a socket. You know, if there's a short in the cord, the power won't flow. And dishonor is like a short. God wants to get the power to you. He wants to get the blessing to you. But if there's dishonor in between him and you, well, not so much him, but, you know, on your side, you know, there's something that's blocking the flow of anointing, the flow of power from coming to you. And that's because the people dishonored the prophetic and the apostolic gift. You don't want to do that. When Jesus said a prophet is without honor, save his own country, he is literally saying that familiarity in many instances breeds dishonor, discontent, dissatisfied, and displeasure. You know the story when Jesus went into his own country, you know, and he began to preach. And then all of a sudden, the people there says, you know, you say, who does he think he is? You know, we know him. You know, we know Mary, you know, we know Joseph, we know his brothers and his sisters. You know, we grew up with him. We played basketball together. You know, I even dated one of his sisters. Who does he think he is? Now he's professing himself to be the Son of God. You know, because of familiarity, you know, you never want to allow your man of God, your pastor, your apostolic source, as the book says, to become familiar. You always want to have a holy and a reverential respect for the apostolic, a holy and a reverential respect, because when you become too familiar, You feel like both of you are on the same level, and that's not the case. You know, I always said there's different levels, there's different ranks, there's different positions, and it's very important to know who has rank. In the military, if you go on into a different camp and you're reporting to somebody who has rank, you know, so you can get your marching orders, you know. And once you whether it's a sergeant or a lieutenant, you know, or whoever, You get those marching orders, and that's your assignment, and you carry out that assignment. You get trained to do a particular task in the military. I was talking about my nephew. One of the things he said they're going to be training him to do is how to use what they call Patriot batteries, or the Patriot missile, which is a missile that deflects other incoming missiles from you know exploding and you know, causing havoc. It blows it up in the sky, you know, but that's going to be his expertise, you know. So he's going to be trained in that, you know, and every in the body of Christ, everybody has a particular assignment. And it's so very important that you carry out, you honor God when you carry out and fulfill your assignment. A lot of times people say, you know, well, I'm just an usher, I'm just a parking lot attendant, I'm just a greeter, but you have no idea the impact that you have on people when you carry out your assignment. I'll give you an illustration, something that happened to me yesterday. A young lady came up to me, it was yesterday evening in our evening service that we had, our special Sunday evening service. And she says, Brother Calhoun, no, she said, Reverend Calhoun, she says, I'm about to do something special for my husband. His birthday is coming up, and I really would like for you to attend. You know, she said, you've made such an impact in his life. And you know, he speaks very highly of, he talks about you all the time. He took the class and how it blessed him. And, you know, and I remember telling them that, you know, God's going to call you in prison ministry. And then about a week later, after I told him that you approached him about prison ministry, and he's all excited about that, you know. And the Lord constantly remind me, and this is something he shared with me years ago. He said, how can I want to make sure I say it right? What's the word, the exact words you use, Lord? It's not so much that they're watching you, but people, when you're in position, when you're in the right position that God has placed you in, you affect and you influence people that you're not even aware of, because they're watching to see what you do when you carry out your God-given assignment. And you're not trying to impress nobody. You're not trying to make a name for yourself. You're just following orders, doing what you've been told. And you have no idea how the impact that it has on somebody who's watching, some maybe even from afar, and how it might pull them out of a slump and push them into the will of God for their lives. You know, so I'm very mindful about, you know, not only my presentation, but who I am and how I carry myself, because when you're around other believers, you want to be the type of person that's going to display honor, because when they see you walking in honor, walking in submission, walking in a yielded position, and then they begin to see blessings that God may be blessing you in certain areas, it helps propel them, you know, and that's a blessing, you know, and that's what honor will do. Honor will breed honor. In other words, when you begin to walk in honor, you're going to breed honor out of other people. You're going to begin to see it, you know. Excellence, I'll never forget, what's this basketball player's name? Anyway, he played for the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen never played college basketball. He just tried out, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or either high school or college, one or two. But he got better, because he would, in the offseason, play one-on-one with Michael Jordan and stuck close to Michael Jordan. And because he was rubbing shoulders with greatness, he himself became, you know, a star in his own right, you know, because iron will always sharpen iron. So when you're around people that's sharp and flowing in honor, you can't help but be sharper, you know. I always would try to, even in school, I always try to find the smartest people and hang around them, you know, thinking something might rub off on me, you know. But what would happen was they would help me and give me insight, you know, certain things that made me a better person. You know, I always look for, most time, you know, I would hang with my friends, but I'd find the smartest group of people and I would spend time with them. And when they was doing their reports, I'm there looking and reading, and they would help me. But that made me better, you know. And that's, you know, all of that is things, especially when you put it into ministry perspective, will produce honor. All right. A few more. All right. I want to talk a little bit about reciprocation. Honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received and how people act on what has been released. I'm going to read that again. Honor, the word reciprocate means to, in math, if it was 1/8, then it's 8/1. So you reverse it, you reciprocate it. And so it says honor is reciprocation, or it should be reciprocated in terms of how the anointing is received. In other words, how we received it and how now we act on what has been released. So when that's kind of similar to what I was talking about a few minutes earlier, because, you know, I said iron sharpens iron. So when you get sharpened, you're going to now reciprocate what you've already received. You know, so honor is reciprocation. In terms of ministry, there needs to be reciprocation where people are sowing into a gift and receiving impartation instead of established business contracts with no impartation. In other words, for years, ministers, you would become a part of an association of ministers, and y'all would swap pulpits. So you can go minister for me, and I can come minister for you. And it was almost like it was a business contract, you know. And it was all about, you know, self, I should say it like that. But it should be where God calls you to a ministry or to a man of God, and as he releases what God has blessed him with, now you receive it. And as you receive it, you're reciprocating back what's been given to you, you know. And that's one of the things I always want to do, is to be able to reciprocate back what God has blessed me from the years of me being, you know, under apostle, so that I can, you know, yesterday afternoon was a perfect example of that. You know, it literally floored me. I stopped there and I'm saying, Lord, I said, I'm not trying to, it's not nothing I'm trying to do, it's humbling. It's humbling. You know, she even said, I would really like for you to speak at his party. You know, she said, I want to have some ministry involved. So if God put on your heart anything to say, by all means, you got liberty to say whatever you got on your heart. And I'm saying, whoa, you know, just, but that's God. You know, and one thing I've learned too is, you know, Paul said it better than anybody. I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace I don't take in vain. You know, it's not about me, but it's all about the grace of God. And as you yield to the grace and yield to apostolic authority, well then, you know, more grace is bestowed because of you submitting properly. And that's going to lead into our next key point. Sons and daughters must recognize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, we sons and daughters must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father, I'm talking about spiritual Father, has been empowered to impart and to convey the blessing we need. I'm going to read that again. Sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the Father, our spiritual Father, releases the blessings to them. Furthermore, we sons and daughters must honor and respect and acknowledge that the Father has been empowered by God, to impart and convey the blessings that we need. Knowing that when God puts you in a position or puts you under a ministry, everything you need is there to sustain you. I'll never forget Elisha, when God had told Elijah to go to a certain brook, and there you're going to be sustained. You know, he commanded a raven to come and bring him food. You know, and there was another time the Lord told him to go to a widow woman's house, and she cooked and baked for him, and she sustained him. You know, God will always tell people, call you to a certain brook. And a brook is a running water stream where life is flowing. You know, God's going to bring you to the right ministry, to the right place where you need to be. And everything you need is going to be supplied. as you humble, walk in honor, submission, and yield properly, everything you need is going to be supplied by that brook. And you got to recognize it. One of the things, my time is running thin. I got 4 minutes. Thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm looking at it. Thank you. What I want to say. I have to constantly remind myself, you know, even with my kids, the blessing that's on their life, both of them working, doing well, and recognizing I didn't do it. You know, yeah, I was a part of it, but God was orchestrating it. As I put time and energy and, you know, my time, my treasure, and my talent into the things of God, God handled the vast majority of my business. I can't tell you how I came up with well over $100,000 to put my daughters through college. I can't tell you where that came from, but God. You know, all I know is every semester the money showed up, she was back in school, you know. And even my son, him graduating, you know, that was a miracle plus, you know, because he, you know, I said, Lord, he's just kind of immature. I didn't think he was ready for college. But before he graduated, he won a Suncoast Emmy Award for a video that he produced, a commercial. You know, I went to pick it up last Friday at Hammond in Southeastern. I'm sorry. I know that you're a graduate. Thank you for correcting me. You know, but the thing that really astonished me was two of his instructors came. One came and presented it to me and gave me the certificate. And then he called another one at my son's instructor. Now, he's been graduated for over a year now, and they just for the next 5 minutes began to just compliment me on how well mannered and how he was a model student. And I'm saying, you know, and I said, but you have no idea. And I'm just, I know it'll almost floor you sometimes. And then I said, well, it wasn't me. I know I tried to do my best, but when you take care of God's business, God's going to start taking care of your business and your kids' business. You know, let me move on. I got 2 minutes and I got two more points I want to put out. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation and the impartation can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent will release the Father's blessing in your life. And I said that's really basically upward giving. I'll read this one also. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, which was an apostolic gift or an apostolic source for that day, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And what that verse here was talking about is God is restoring back father-son relationships, you know, because we had gotten away from that. But, you know, because Elijah had many sons, you know, Samuel probably had sons in the gospel, and Paul had sons in the gospel. It's all through the Bible. Every man of God, God used them, and they discipled and mentored others, and that anointing and the mantles were transferred for those who yielded properly. And that will produce honor. I want to definitely point that out. All right, last point. Got 1 minute and 2 seconds. God is a God of order. He sets up authority because he has divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there will be chaos, confusion, and anarchy, which will result in there being dishonor and disgrace or disrespect in the land for those in authority. I'm going to read it again. God is a God of order. He sets up authorities because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there will be chaos, confusion, anarchy, which will result in there being dishonor and disrespect in the land for those in authority. In other words, you're not going to respect those in authority. But when you know how to walk in order, in proper order, you can't help but bring honor to yourself. Amen. All right. So we'll continue on our review next week. You guys be blessed.